You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CSK News, if you've driven down Railway Avenue recently, you've probably noticed a large excavation happening near the corner of Railway and Columbia, part of an ongoing contamination investigation of an old Imperial Oil site, which, according to longtime Smithers resident Blair Wind, has contaminated not only that site, but also his lots across the street as well. Recently, Wind held a delegation at Smithers Council to ascertain the results of the investigation, which could prove widespread hydrocarbon contamination, something Wind says has prevented him from selling his house for more than 20 years. Today, we speak with Wind about what he's experienced over the years trying to get answers about the contaminated site and what he would like to see town do about it. Stay with us.
My name is Blair Wind. I live at 1011 Columbia Street, corner of Railway Avenue and Columbia, and I own the two adjacent properties undeveloped next to it.
Great, Blair. Thanks for being with us here on CICK News. I know we've gone back and forth about some of the situation that you've been dealing with for quite a while. And then recently, as people might have noticed along Railway there at the old Chevron location, we're seeing lots of digging going on. They've been monitoring that area, those contaminated sites, for some time. But you have a little bit of a different perspective because your property is right across the road. So tell me what you brought up to council the other week when you went to go speak about this.
Well, I've been asking for an update on the waterline investigation project, which has been ongoing, as you say, across the street from me. The Chevron plant closed in 1990. Asked me why it took them 35 years to start remediating it. The Imperial Oil one directly across from where I'm standing here talking to you is they closed around the same time. And then there's the Petro-Canada site, which remains open. Most people aren't really aware of the waterline investigation project. It's been going on since August of 2002. It involves not just the water line, but other Town of Smithers infrastructure, including the sanitary sewer and the storm sewer system, which are known to be impacted. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version here, Dan. Since at least September 2nd, 2003, I've been involved in a legal dispute involving the town I live in, which is Smithers, the province I reside in, BC Ministry of Environment, who regulates the roadways, the country I'm a citizen of, Environment Canada, because the property across the street is federally regulated, where the rail yards, where the four multinational corporations, including Imperial Oil Limited, Petro-Canada, Chevron Canada, and CN Rail, who happens to be my former employer, are all located. So it's quite a convoluted and complex situation, and in short, it's a mess.
Now, Blair, you know, you've been trying to get to council for some time. You finally had a moment to go and speak to them to kind of bring them up to speed on this issue and also looking for some answers. What did you get back from town council, and what are you seeing at your property as they're digging all of this up?
Well, as you're aware, then I tried to get on the agenda for the previous meeting, and I was not put on because I've been asking for an update since July 15th, 2023, as to what's going on, repeated requests, and town staff just refused to acknowledge me. And this is why I had to take it to mayor and town and council to kind of force the issue. I've been told, well, I did get what I would call an unsatisfactory reply a day before the previous council I attended, and then I got put on the agenda. at my second attempt. And there's a lot of issues. I get the impression that either the town of Smithers, particularly the Department of Development Services, either doesn't have a clue what's going on or aren't willing to discuss it. And essentially, how it works then is, you know, in most cases, there's one identified source of contamination and one regulatory board. My situation involves three levels of bureaucracy and four registered contaminated sites with identified off-site migration for a total of seven participants, which makes it unusual and unique. And it's, I've been dealing with this for 22 years, and it's been an ordeal, to say the least.
You mentioned you were smelling kind of what was going on there. Clearly, there's, you know, something amiss, trying to figure out how deep this contamination goes. And you feel, as you mentioned to me earlier, that it probably goes right through your property. So tell me about what you've been experiencing this last little while since they've been trying to do this investigation and remediate some of that land there.
Well, if you're talking specifically about the Chevron site, I've been living here since 87 when all three plants were in operation. And there was a pervasive smell at the time. When they started the waterline investigation in 2002, it just kept creeping closer and closer and closer to our door. And in 2003, when our properties were listed for sale, they put a observation monitoring well directly across from my front door, where I'm standing here talking to you, a foot from our property line. And we'd already been asking questions of the town of Smithers and Imperial Oil and the BC Ministry of Environment. And when it became public knowledge, due to an Interior News article, October 8th, 2003, we were forced to disclose to both the realtor and the banks. Our property became unsaleable October 24th, 2004, after BC Ministry of Environment deemed the environmental status of our properties as uncertain. And since then, it's been a complex, convoluted, and unfortunate situation for us. And I'm not looking for sympathy by any means, but I'm just trying to identify the problem that I've been experiencing. And I think it also relates, as I brought up at the town council meeting, to the General Smithers area, in particular Boville Square and the old highways yard, which is currently under construction. And
yeah, I know we talked about this as well. You know, there are other contaminated sites in town. Some of them have been remediated. Others are still sitting there. As you mentioned, Boville Square was one of those spots, the old spot where there was a gas station in that area, you know, needed to be remediated before they could build on it. So these are expensive projects. So if you need to remediate the area, it sounds like this is from what you've told me, from what I've seen with the ministry and the monitoring that they're doing, that your site there, your lots might also be contaminated. Is that right?
I refer to it as potential contamination, because you cannot say your lots are contaminated until you've had investigations. Unfortunately, what is the cost of these investigations outweighs the value of my lands. You know, it's going to cost me personally several hundred thousand dollars to prove my point. It's cost prohibitive. And how I'm going to describe it to you this way, Dan, is that I wrote an article in April 11th, 2012 about this situation, and I called out the town, I called out the ministry, I called out the oil companies and their consultants, and nobody offered a rebuttal, demanded a retraction, or sued me. And in it, I've explained it this way, is that, you know, all towns have a hydrocarbon contamination problem to some degree, but ours is disproportionate to our size due to our unique history and geology. Our town is built on a drained swamp, and most places are not. And, you know, as such, we have fluctuating and circulating groundwater levels. And many of the sites, including the one at the other end of Columbia Street, you know, the 7-Eleven Esso site, which two of the three buildings have been vacant for decades. The two lots next door, despite the oil company saying that the initial results indicated no health risks. Well, explain to me why one was torn down and the other one was renovated, and there's been chain link fences around them for the last 20 years. And the problem at the other end of the street, as with others, it's known to come back because of our unique ground conditions, with, you say, being built in the swamp. In most places, it goes, gets trapped in the bedrock, and it stays there and remediates. When you're built in a swamp, it gets into the groundwater. And the big problem I've had with the town of Smithers, and a lot of people don't understand, is that the infrastructure I referred to, the water line, the sanitary sewer, and the storm sewer, these create preferential pathways for contamination. When the groundwater flows hit these and intersect them, it diverts them, and they take that route. And as I explain it, Dan, the hydrocarbon contamination is just like me, Dan. It's lazy. It takes the path of least resistance. And when it meets an excavated trench, it will divert and follow that. And this is the problem I've had. And it's called the Waterline Investigation Project, not the Blair Wind Project. Dan.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
This is what, you know, adds to the complexity of it, and the convoluted nature. And I say the number of participants. You've got commingling. You've got multiple sources. I say most places, you have one identified source of contamination, and one regulatory board. Yeah. As I said, with mine, you've got three levels of bureaucracy, four potential sources of contamination, for a total of seven. And this is what makes my situation, I would say, unique. And I've talked to one of Canada's leading authorities on this and asked her if she'd ever heard of a situation like that, and she said no. Apparently I'm the champ, Dan, as far as it comes to a number of people involved in a situation like this.
I guess, Blair, you know, obviously this has been ongoing for some time. Now you've spoken to the town through your delegation the other week at council. What's the next step here? Where do we go from here?
Well, I did, after the meeting, I had a conversation with the chief administrative officer, Mike Dewar, and they promised that they would do it. And as I say, I've been asking for an update, not just on the Waterline Investigation Project for over 2 years. I did had requests, you know, as I've been, after our place became unsaleable, I've kind of been stuck with it. I could try and dump it or whatever, or I also have the ability where nothing says I can't develop it for my own use. And it took me taking it to Mayor and Council to force a reply. I did, and to his credit, the only one who, throughout these 2 years, who has actually been up front and dealt with me is a building inspector. And because of the unique situation, if you drive by my place, you notice that I'm in a 3.5-foot bowl-like depression. Every place else in town is flat. For me to get access and for me to develop my properties presents unique situations. You have the town of Smithers Boulevard with the storm sewer trench, and there's the observation monitoring has lit it, how litter the area between my property and Railway Avenue. I can't get an answer out of them, and it's a question as to who will talk to the oil companies. If I want to put a driveway from my property to Railway Avenue, there's issues that don't exist in any other place that I'm aware of. So I am dealing with the situation on both the environmental issue and the essentially ability to develop my own property. And it's an ongoing, as it's been going on for 23 years. I don't expect any overnight solutions, but, you know, then again, my meter's running out. I'm now a senior citizen. I've spent a third of my life dealing with this situation. I'm trying to move on and essentially not leave my estate a mess behind me. And it's been a difficult to obtain answers, and I'm just striving to do so. But I say at the same time, dealing with the town, I also deal with the Ministry of Environment. And I don't see any immediate resolution. I've been dealing with the BC Ministry of Environment since September 2nd, 2003. They've refused to set foot on my property and continue to do so, despite the fact the regional headquarters is two blocks from my house. This, and I believe the reason they do this, is because if they were to visit my site, they would be forced to intervene. So,
okay, Blair, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for informing us, and we'll be sure to stay in touch.
Great, Dan. I appreciate you having me on your program.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.